Bravo. Megillat Eszter. Megillat Eszter, Mr. Albert. No, we need the English one. Oh, we need the English one, I think the stone.
I'll get the real.
No, stone, English. As introduction to tonight's show, I don't know yet, we'll see. As introduction, two, as we may say, nice words, two strange things about Purim. The first one is a statement from the Zohar. The Zohar says that we have, of course, the holiest of the holiest that we know is Yom Kippur. And the Torah refers to Yom Kippur. The Torah calls it Yom Kippurim, Hu Lechaper Al Nafshotechen, Yom Kippurim. Of course, the simple explanation means Yom Kippurim, it means the plural of Kippur is Kippurim. And this means day, it's a day of forgiveness. But really, you cannot mix, you cannot say Yom, Yom means singular, and then you say Kippurim, a lot of forgiveness. Of course, you can squeeze in, it means for a lot of Hashalom sins. But I'm sure Rabbi Yochanan the Zohar says that Yom Kippurim means you have to divide the word Kippurim to two words. Or maybe to a word with one letter. So the word Kippurim, if you divide, if you take the chaf, the first letter, a little bit away, so it means like this, Yom Kippurim. It means Yom Kippur is like Purim. So Chachamim say what it means, what the Zohar means is that Yom Kippur, that this is so-called the holiest of the holiest of the year, is not even like Purim. It means you compare it to Purim. It is Yom Kippurim. It means Purim sounds like, from the statement in the Zohar, that Purim is higher than Yom Kippur, that you have so-called to compare Yom Kippur to Purim. And it's true, according to some Chachamim, that Yom Kippur, in certain scenes, sometimes the Zohar says it's hard to wave on Yom Kippur. Even those, say Chachamim, that on Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't wave them, he waved them on Purim. Just from that statement by itself, you see how powerful this Chag Purim is. And the second thing is what the Gemara Yerushalmi says, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that even though Megillat Esther, the way it says in the Megillah, Purim should be celebrated mainly on the 14th and the 15th day of Chodesh Adar, but the halacha is, says the Yerushalmi, somebody has to go someplace, and he will not have Megillat Esther on the day of Purim. What should he do? So this question you cannot ask about any other holiday. You can ask, what shall I do?
Can you be in your with
yeah, sure.
So wherever he goes?
Wherever he goes, you know, he doesn't have a personal Megillah. You cannot read it from a book. You need it in the parchment. And Megillah is there. And he went, and you can ask, you know, what happened if he went to a trip and he got stuck. And there's no transportation, he's going to get stuck for Purim. So again, this question you may not ask for any other holiday. For example, you ask, you know, what will happen if I get stuck, there's no shofar or Rosh Hashanah. What happens if I get stuck, there's no oil or candles for Hanukkah. Get stuck, no matzah for Pesach. Too bad. I mean, you can. So it's called, you didn't do it on purpose, and something happened, so in Shamayim, might be considered that you need medicine, you need to, but it's irrelevant. You can ask this question. Purim is a special halacha, it's again to Gemara Yerushalmi. And Yerushalmi says, from Rosh Chodesh on, from Monday already, Monday night, at Rosh Chodesh Adar, it says, if you know that you might get stuck someplace, and you will not be able to read the Megillah on the date, it really, it says in the Megillah should be read, so if you read it from Rosh Chodesh on, yesterday, 2 days ago, tomorrow, today, It's a question, with bracha, without bracha, but again, on your file in Shamayim, it's going to be said that you did read the Megillah, even though it's not the right date. And Yerushalmi says, because it is Pasuk in the Megillah, later, it says the whole month, so-called, turns to be a very good month, even though according to all these horoscopes and astrologists, the Chodesh Adar is not the best month, turned to be good. So the Megillah refers to the miracle of Purim, not just the miracle of a day of Purim, it is the miracle of the whole month. And therefore comes the Gemara Yerushalmi and says special halacha. I said, listen, if you will not be able to read the Megillah on the 14th day of Chodesh Adar, on the 15th day of Chodesh Adar, and you have a chance before you go on a trip or before something is going to happen, you want to read the Megillah 2 weeks before. The Marshal said, okay, just read it before and it's perfect, perfect. Again, this halacha you cannot have find by any other mitzvah. You cannot find this halacha, for example, the Pesach, he says, I don't have matzah. I don't have matzah. I says, what should I do? Well, you know, I'm going to be away for Pesach. So in the meantime, I would like to eat the matzah before Pesach. No such thing. He says, I would like to light Hanukkah candle a week before Hanukkah. There's no such thing. So the only thing that it's possible to do the mitzvah ahead of time, and it's being going to be considered that you do the mitzvah, is the Megillat Esther. Very strange. But really what it means is, that the holiday of Purim is so strong, it's called like a reflector as well. Kabbalah is called Or Chozer, it's a light that shines back. For example, I will say that the light of Shabbat shines back every week from Wednesday. I said, Wednesday already, you have already the light of the next Shabbat. The Shabbat is so powerful, it's a projector. It's like a reflector that shines back. Purim is so strong, says Ari, it shines back 2 weeks before, from Rosh Chodesh on, says Gemara Yerushalmi, but Rosh Chodesh Aruch, if you read the Megillah from Rosh Chodesh on, you fulfill yourself the Megillah. Very strange. You don't have this kind of a statement by Sukkot, by Pesach, by Shavuot, by Hanukkah, nothing, no such thing. Somebody's going to ask you, listen, can I do Hanukkah candle over the light the week before, because in the week of Hanukkah I'll be away. No such thing. Let's call Am Haaretz. Purim is different. Just from this you see that Purim is different. So with your permission, we'd like to find out what is really the power of Purim and what is different about it and what is really the whole miracle. As one more introduction before we go into the Megillah, this is the way the Gemara puts it, that the miracle of Purim is really, I don't know how big the miracle is. You know, on the contrary, this is it's a one-man show, his name is Haman, and one day he's the head of Iran Paraz, and one day he's finished, and that's the end of it. So it means you had one that's going to make a one Meshuggah. One guy that tried to kill the Jewish nation, and they hung him, finished, whatever the reason is. I mean, if you read the Megillah and you read the Gemara, it's not really a big miracle. We're talking about a person that was a wicked person, that had no nice habit, and he got crazy, he wanted to kill the Jewish people, and something happened, they hung him, so it's what's the miracle, what is the Purim business, what's the business, so somebody tried to kill you, we'll see why in a minute, and they hung him, so what's the celebration, that's not the first time somebody tried to destroy a Jewish nation and kill the nation. If you tell me, you know, it's something big, it's a crazy man. Haman, crazy man, he couldn't tolerate it. Mordechai couldn't take it. Mordechai was bowed out and the Megillah will say, so he didn't want to kill Am Yisrael, he want to destroy all Am Yisrael, for no reason. There were 3,000 in the Megillah at least. And then he made a mistake, the way the Megillah painted it, he made a mistake, nothing happened. And they didn't catch him with a bribe or something. This is nothing. He came one to Achashverosh, and Achashverosh could not sleep, and then he said certain things, and then all of a sudden Esther was there, and Esther said, so all of a sudden the hung him. So what is celebration? It's not really no celebration. The size, besides this, the whole thing is really embarrassment, not a celebration. The way the Gemara puts it, the way the Zohar says, the Targum, the older Mefarshim say, it's not that Haman one day arrived out of nowhere and wants to kill Am Yisrael. It's no such thing. I think the Kadosh Baruch Hu has to sign such a thing. And here comes the Gemara and tells us that Talmidei Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the student of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, asked him this question. He says, what is behind the Haman arrives? So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, just in the first answer, he said, let me tell you, that happened because 18,524 Jewish people went to the party of Ahasuerus, and they did things in the party. They got married to non-Jewish girls in the party. So, therefore, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very upset, and eventually here you have Haman, that he comes, and because of Israel is one unit, and whatever it is, maybe another reason the Gemara says it's the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Anyway, Haman doesn't come, said Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai to his students, because Haman arrived. There's no such thing, Saddam Hussein, there's no such thing, Hitler. And something happened before that caused this person to come and try to destroy the Jewish nation. So, Baruch Hashem, whatever happened with the reason of the Megillah, the time Israel fasted and they cried, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu waved the Gezerah, so Haman was hung. Okay, but now you may not celebrate it, because the celebration is embarrassing. If you want to translate it to your lifetime, it's for example, somebody murdered somebody, they put him in jail. After 25 years, he comes outside, so they make him a party. He was released from jail. So every year, now they're going to make a party. He said, what is the party for? He was released from jail. He said, excuse me, why was he in jail? He was in jail because he murdered somebody. So it's embarrassment to celebrate his so-called pardon or whatever it was, he got out of jail. I wonder why he went to jail the first time. It says again, the Gemara says, this Haman did not come just because of Haman, and because the Jewish people did not behave. They went to the party, should not have gone to the party. So Haman came as a punishment when they went to the party. So now Haman is on the tree. So what's the celebration? Haman's on the tree? There's no celebration. It's embarrassment. Somebody says, celebrate Purim, ask you, why you celebrate Purim? He says, Haman. He says, no, Haman, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is saying, Haman arrived because he did something bad. If he did something bad, that's when Haman arrived. So what's the celebration? The hang Haman. Hang Haman because you regretted what you did. You did Teshuvah, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you forgiveness, and so Baruch Hashem, Haman is on the tree. But it's not to celebrate years and years celebration. Not only that, Tanta Rambam, if you remember, the Talmud Yerushalmi, he says, that celebration can be forever. Even after Mashiach will come, it's according to the Rambam, Gemara, Yerushalmi, the other holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, maybe Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur as well, are going just to be dismissed. And we're not going to have on those holidays, says the Rambam, but Purim is going to stay forever. It is the opposite. If I would be the one that wrote this halakha, says Purim should be canceled the first one, because that's the biggest embarrassment for us. Shame on us that we had to go through that time and had to be saved from Haman. It's the same Haman, it's embarrassing. Nevertheless, again, Purim is the biggest, Purim is going to stay the longest, and Purim is even bigger and higher than Yom Kippur. Yom Kippurim says as well, it's like Purim. It says, from all these questions, it sounds like the Purim is the worst. It's not even a holiday. It should not have been a holiday. It should be a mourning day, maybe. Mourning day. With your permission, we get out to still. So chapter 1, we'll start with your permission. Maybe me Achashverosh. Achashverosh, המולך מודו ועדכו אישום ובעצום ובעם המדינה, בימים הקשיבת מן Achashverosh, שמחותו של תלמלס, בשנתם מוחרת, משתו יכולת הרבה בדף. כן, פרס ומדי, הפרטים מסתם לפנה. He says, he decided to make a party. It's a question among the חכמים, why he decided to make a party. But here, the party is going to be described. In described, I just want one point with your permission. To sentence 7, להשקות בכלי זהב וכלים מכלים שונים ומחוץ רב כיד המלך. The Megillah said, so-called the main part in the party was wine. You would think it's wine. You think it's wine, but sentence 8, which says, Vashtiyah Hadat, so comes the Gemara to tell you, listen, sounds like he had no food. But this party took 180 days. So first I would like to know why it's 180 days. What's the significance of that number? Secondly, I would like to know why there is no food being served in this party. Of course, it's impossible that people came to celebrate 180 days for 6 months and did not have any food. Must have food. Comes the Gemara says, true. Here, sentence 8, which says that the first two words in said sentence says, Vashtiyah Hadat. It says drinking is like it's supposed to be. Comes the Gemara and tells us, you know what? It's true that it served a lot of wine. But you should know the wine was less than the food. But it means like this. You had steak and chicken and potatoes and rice and all whatever they serve in Iran. And it says, but you should know also they had wine. Even though from the Megillah it says sounds they had only wine. It says no vashtiyah, don't think like that. 180 days people came to celebrate. Of course they need to have some food. They needed food, they gave them food. It says, how much food? More food than wine. It says, what's the importance that you have to tell me that? It's more food than wine, and what's the importance about this party? Again, if really we're going to read the first chapter, so the punchline of this chapter was that the Achashverosh, this is sentence 10, this was Shabbat, Achashverosh drank a little bit more, got a little bit high, so he told his servants, להביא סנטנס 11, להביא ושתי המלכה לפני מלכת המלכות. He wants to bring Vashti, not dressed properly to show off that he has a beautiful wife. Of course, סנטנס 12, ותמי מלכה ושתי, שיטת מלכה, and then it goes to the first chapter that they decided to kill Vashti. Again, all this is really, it could be omitted because it's not important. It is, the punchline is that you want to tell me that Vashti is going to be killed. I don't know why Vashti has to be killed. What's the difference? If you want to come to the point that Achashverosh is going to look for a wife, so Achashverosh may have more than one wife. The kings of those days had more than one wife. So if you want to plant Esther in the palace, you can either Achashverosh wants to marry another girl and he's looking for, and you don't have to have that description, or you can just say Vashti had a heart attack. Heart attack, or they made a balloon on her, and he like didn't know what he was doing, and she died, happens every day, every second. You don't have to tell me the whole story, or the party, and in the party, Achashverosh drank, and Achashverosh all of a sudden, that's not going on, he wants Vashti to come, she doesn't want to come, he's going to kill her. It is strange. No, that scene was when Israel arrived to the party, because again, the Megillah doesn't say that. She's the whole, if that's the purpose, the Megillah should have said it. You can omit the important part of Megillah that says, that's the punchline. You can add, you can say, listen, whatever you read, whatever you see over here, still you have some other details that Megillah did not write, because the Megillah was written for Ruach HaKodesh. It's like the Chumash, the Torah, that you have the Midrash and the Gemara and the Mishnah afterwards. But again, you don't have to have it in the text. Megillat Esther was in Ruach HaKodesh. I don't need to know it. There was a party and they ate a lot and they drank a little bit. And then in the party, Vashti will not resist. She will not come. And Achashverosh was going to kill her and I'm going to look for a wife. It's not important. You can always, if the punchline is that you want to get Esther into the picture, this has nothing to do with Vashti. You can start the Megillah. You know, one time I was Achashverosh and he was a very big king and he ruled a lot of states. And his wife died, and he's looking for a girl. Doesn't matter the whole story. Who cares about the story about Vashti? I don't care less about her. So if you skip to chapter 2, now Achashverosh is looking for a wife. This chapter 2, sentence 5, with your permission, issued Yer B'Shon HaBirah, Ushvom Adachai Ben Yair Ben Shimi Ben Kishi Shimini. So again, sounds from the text that Mordechai's father is Yair, Mordechai's grandfather is Shimi, Mordechai's great-grandfather is Kish. Sounds the Gemara says, well, it's not exactly that way. Of course, Mordechai had a great-grandfather Shimi, and a great-great-great-great-great-grandfather is Kish. So you choose, from all his grandparents, you choose two of them. It's not in order. One is named Shimi, this is the time of David HaMelech. And the other one is Kish, the time of Shaul HaMelech, this is Shaul HaMelech's father. And you combine all those so-called grandfathers together, you omitted the generations in between, and you chose those. Something Maram Masechet Megillah says, I want to tell you something. This, the reason why the Megillah describes Mordechai that he is the son of Yair, it's not necessarily really his immediate father was Yair, it was the grandfather, maybe it wasn't. But the reason why the Megillah says Mordechai ben Yair is to tell you Yair comes from the word light. And to tell you that Mordechai's father, so-called, had some connection with light. What it means is that Mordechai lit so-called the prayers of him and Am Yisrael. So sounds like that you want to describe Mordechai as a person that knows how to pray, and that's his, the next guy, his name is Shimi. So Shimi comes from the word listen. So it means it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu listened to his prayers. Therefore the Megillah chose this Mordechai grandfather, Shimi, to tell you that this guy Shimi is a grandfather of Mordechai. It's a true name, by the way. But again, why I chose that name is to tell you that Mordechai is capable to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Baruch Hu listens to his prayer. Ben Kish, again, the word Kish is like to knock. It means Mordechai knows how to knock on the gate of mercy, and Hashem listens. There's like a description about Mordechai that, again, that he knows how to pray. This is what the significance. Of course, the Midrash will tell you that Eliyahu Navi went and spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu and told Moshe Rabbeinu this is the Gesurah, this is going to be a Gesurah, and Moshe Rabbeinu asked him what to do, and Eliyahu Navi said, there's a guy, Mordechai, he knows how to pray, so Moshe will say, I pray over here in Shamayim, that Mordechai pray downstairs, hopefully between two of us, we'll raise the Gesurah. Again, it's very nice, but again, the description that you have now about Mordechai, that he is the guy that prays. Okay? It's important, I don't say it's not important, but sounds that's the whole thing that you have about him, that's the most important thing right now about him. Asher Oglam Yerushalayim, sentence 6, with your permission, chapter 2, Asher Oglam Yerushalayim was exiled from Yerushalayim, Agolah, Shorotay, Mechadam, Yerushalayim, 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 but you went to the south. Sentence 7. You know, now we talk about Mordechai's life. What is he doing in his life? Nothing, we don't know anything. By the way, Mordechai, when he was 13 years old, he was already the chief of the Sanhedrin. They had people over there 100 and 150 years old. He was the chief in Eretz Israel. He was 13 years old. It's not the first one, I mean, I don't know if it's the first, but he's not the only one that was so young in the beginning of the Sanhedrin. But he was so-called fairly young. There's no sign about it. He said, what do you want to know about him? I'll tell you what I know about him. But you mentioned the test about the door, so I say he took care of Hadassah. Who is Hadassah? That's his cousin. Okay. Why do you have to know she's his cousin? What does it make to you? Yes, of course. I mean, why not? I mean, but again, Megillah is not a story. It's the Megillah emphasized. If you want to know what this guy did, it is to tell you. Yeah, can you tell me what anything about Mordechai? Yeah, I can tell you. He took care of a little baby, because that baby lost the father and the mother, and she had no one. Who was this girl? Her name is, she is Esther. She is his cousin. Okay? His cousin. And Abraham, when her mother gave birth, she died, and the father died before. And I says, by the way, you should know that this, she was a very beautiful baby. Very beautiful, very beautiful. Then Mordechai raised her and he married her. That's all you can tell me about him. I mean, that's all. Okay, fine. Sounds strange. First description, you should tell me he's a genius, he was there to Sanhedrin. Something about him says, no, that's only what you know about him. He knows how to pray, and he raised a baby, happened to be his cousin, and then he married her. Mazal tov. And everybody heard what the Chashverosh is looking for a queen. They took Esther, of course against her will, to become the queen. So here comes the Gemara and says, I want to explain to you something. Really, it's a machlok in the Gemara, how old was Esther really when she was taken? The youngest age that the Gemara says is 40. The oldest is Shmuel 80. She was 80 years old. There's no information how old was Achashverosh. Most of the Chachamim said he was much younger than her. So they brought, can you imagine 80 years old, I mean all the respect to the elderly, but they brought Esther to Achashverosh. The man said, 80, you know, I hope, maybe she had a facelift, maybe not, no job, I don't know exactly. But anyway, we do know that the appointment where Esther had with Achashverosh prior to the date, to the meeting, she had to be prepared for 12 months. 12 months preparation, that this is how it took, how long it took to prepare the girl to go for this appointment with the Ahasuerus. And when we came in, says the Gemara, you should know, she looked green. With all the makeup they put on her, with all the oil they soaked her for 12 months, still she didn't look good. So she didn't look good, so the Chachamim said, excuse me, just tell me she was very pretty. She said, yeah, she was pretty as a child. But as a grown-up, she was already green. Green. It's green. It takes a green girl. She's a green complexion. So the Gemara says, no, you see, it's true. She's far from being cute, pretty. Far. But the Gemara says, the Megillah will emphasize it. But it's a chesed lefonav, chuchel chesed mashuch al paniha, says the Gemara, that she has some kind of a complexion, a sweet appearance. That's what the Gemara says. But as far as beauty, don't even put her on the stage. It looks green. Like Hadassah Arava. Finish. I said, okay. I really don't know what the purpose, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to paint her as an ugly girl, but you tell me she was a cute baby? So, what does it make? So we don't imagine somebody wants to go out with a girl, they just can send me a picture on the email. The picture, you know, when she was a little cute baby with a pacifier. I says, now she looks like she's after accident. So why doesn't, so what's the purpose? What's the purpose that you tell me she was cute when she was young, but now she's green? For what? Anyway, Baruch Hashem, Ahasuerus decided that she is the candidate and you married her.
Was she really married to Mordechai?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah, she was married to Mordechai.
Adopted her,
and then the Gemara says he married her.
Big punishment.
Big punishment. Big punishment. Mordechai was 95. Now he's 95. He's married to her for a long time. Yeah. Never had children. Mordechai never had children.
So they didn't have children?
Never. It's too early to know. Too early to guess it. Why? I mean, I'm not a Navi, but I'll tell you what David says, now you understand. She didn't have children, she doesn't have no children. But it's too early. Don't try to destroy the shiur, please. Moshe, it's a bad habit. Okay, listen. So if you skip to chapter 3 with your permission, that's a very cute, we are very cute show tonight. I mean, what do you call a model for a reef? You see, it's a different story. Chapter 3, sentence 1. אחר הדברים האלה גילה מלך השבועות תמן ולמדת הגגים ונצל את המסור בעל כל הצרים אשר אותו. So all of a sudden, there is no information that the Ahasuerus decided to give Haman an elevation in the government. Not only that, the Gemara says that Ahasuerus told Haman, you know, I'm going to be called, so-called, the prime minister, the president, the king of this regime, but you really are the higher. So it's half five goes. The sentence two, can you imagine? The king ordered everybody should bow down to Haman. There's no information that anybody had to order to bow down to Ahasuerus. To Haman, yes. Okay. Mordechai decided he doesn't want to bow down to him. Comes the Gemara and comes the Zohar and all say the same thing. It says Haman, first of all, Haman, we don't know why exactly, but he had a canvas statue. It's a machloket. Either he had it on his head, on his turban, or he had it on his jacket. And therefore, when Haman walked by, it was a statue, and Mordechai will not bow down to the statue. Okay, that's fine. Well, how about the rest of the Jewish people? They did bow or didn't bow? There's no information. The one information we do know that Mordechai made his business that every time Haman comes and he's going to walk by, he stands up still. He doesn't, he's not on the floor. Everybody's on the floor, he stands still. Since the Megillah of the Melech, sent the 3 days, so the servants, the slaves ask Mordechai, what's going on? It's a command from the king. Forget about you don't like Haman or not. Forget about this. We'll go into it in a minute. But so far, it's an order from the king. So the king said, you have to bow down. They went to the Haman and said, listen, you see this Jew? Every time you pass, he made his business, he's going to stand over here next to you. And he doesn't bow down. He wrote, I'm a Jew. He says, I'm a Jew. So you drew to bed. So you drew to bed, you know, this is not your country. You're just a tourist here. You're a visitor. Mordechai, with all the respect. Again, the Gemara, the Midrash will tell you that Mordechai had some business with Haman, and one time they went to a war, it was not enough food for Haman's soldiers. Haman went to Mordechai and begged him from food. And Mordechai said, I would like you to sign that you are my slave. And Haman signed out of desperation that he is Mordechai's slave, and Mordechai took the piece of paper and stuck it on his foot, and so forth. Mordechai holds that Haman is really his slave. It's irrelevant. Mordechai will not answer the question. It says the king ordered everybody has to bow down to Haman. You live in Iran, you live in Paris, you cannot just stand up over there. You can't. Ahasuerus in 1 minute will take you, will put you in jail, will kill you. Says Ahasuerus decides. It says, secondly, the Gemara says, you may not start with the wicked person that he is in this time is very successful. One says, stay away from him. You know, you can be the holiest of the holiest. And you see, there's a guy, there's a murderer, is a thief, is the worst, is the worst of the worst. But he's successful. But he's successful. You don't know why. Hashem wants it. Hashem wants to give him a position. He can be the prime minister. It doesn't matter. He says, don't start up with him. He says, the Gemara, you lose. You stay away from him. You stay away. He says, why you start up with him? Stay away from him. By the way, the Gemara says, Am Israel has a big complaint about Mordechai. It says, Am Israel, when soon is going to be the Gezerah of Haman to destroy Am Israel, they go to Mordechai and say, look, you started the whole thing. Why you started the whole thing? We have permission. Again, Mordechai doesn't need to serve permission. Mordechai is the head of Sanhedrin. He's the chief. He's a 95 years old man. He knows what he's doing. But again, you can't put the whole nation in danger. You can't do that. You're not allowed to do it according to halakha. You cannot do it. There's no reason. You have a business with Haman. Okay, take him to court and do what you've got to do. You can't. If the king order, everybody has to bow down to Haman, you cannot just make your business. Every time Haman passes by, you're going to stand up next to Haman and say, straight face. He says, what are you doing? This, I'm a Jew. He says, good. You're a Jew? Fine. Okay. But he says, this is a law of the government. It's a law of the government. He says, you're in exile. What do you think you're going to accomplish? You're going to make him angry. And look what's going to be in 5 minutes. Haman is going to go to Ahasuerus. He's going to say, I want to destroy all the Jewish people. He says, who gave you permission to do it? How do you know how to do it? Who said that you're allowed to do it to put the whole nation in danger? Leave him alone. You don't want to bother him. Don't bother him. You know what? When he comes, make yourself not available, go behind a tree, hide. You don't want to bother out there. Okay, because I don't know, you have a business. Again, according to the Gemara, the whole thing is because Haman carries a statue. So if he has a statue, so you must, every time you pass next to a statue, you have to stand up or something. If that's the command is you have to bow down to the statue, you have to cross the street. You should not go that street. You should not pass that. And if you start up with Haman, what did you think you were going to accomplish? Are you going to teach him a lesson? With your permission, chapter 4. Mordechai had called Hashem Nasa. So he comes to Gemara and says, Eliyahu Navi came to Mordechai, or Baal HaLom, he said they had a dream, and he knew what's going on, that Haman is going to try to destroy Am Yisrael. What is the Megillah saying? The Megillah said like this. It says, Haman went to Ahasuerus and said, I would like to kill all the Jews. And Ahasuerus said, listen, you remember what happened to Paro, to Sancheriv? Let's not start with this nation. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to start with them. So Haman said, forget about it. You know, leave it up to me. I know what to do. So Haman made a lotto. And the lotto showed that the 13th day of Chodesh Adar, this is the date that according to the astrology, according to the horoscope, according to the magic, that's the day that he will be able to succeed and be successful to destroy the Jewish people. what is the date today, then Amman does it. This is Yudbet Nisan. It says he's making the lotto, and the lotto shows that the best date to destroy the Jewish people is the 13th day of Chodesh Adar, the following year. It means in another 11 months. So Haman and Ahasuerus send those execution notices to all around the world. It says, listen, here, you should know that in 11 months from now, you're going to kill the Jewish people. He says, don't do it before, because the lotto showed that you won't be successful. You can't do it tomorrow morning. I mean, jihad, you can't do the jihad. You have to wait. You wait 11 months. He says, be ready. It's going to be the 13th day of Chodesh Adar, the following year, destroyed. And that is Mordechai that Kolashon Ha'atah. This is chapter 4, sentence 1. Mordechai knew it. It says Mordechai knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also agreed so-called to that Gezerah. It says when is the Gezerah is going to happen? The following year. So what is the date today? Today is the date Yud Gimel Nisan. It says today is 2 days before Pesach. And the following year, another 11 months, that's the execution day. Yep. Says the Megillah, Mordechai Kolashon Ha'atah, chapter 4, sentence 1, Beikamu L'chad Begalav. Mordechai tore his clothing. It says, first of all, you don't find in the Torah so easy that people tear the clothing. Usually, that Talach and Shulchan Aruch, and that Talach Achat Shalom, Lalinu L'alechem, no one should have it. If somebody died from the family, you tear your clothing. Of course, you find in the Torah another time, but most of the time, you tear your clothing if somebody died. So Mordechai told us, why do you have to tear your clothing? First of all, you know, it's not right now. It's not right now. It's in 11 months from now. In 11 months from now, who knows, Haman will have a heart attack, Ahasuerus will have an accident, and they're going to go to the government, they have the Jewish lobby, they go to Washington, they go to buses from all over to talk to the senators. It's not yet a dangerous moment yet. It's in 11 months. Somebody's going to tell you in 11 months they're going to kill the Jewish people. He says, oh, forget about it. By that time, we're going to have a stock market. So later, America will be busy with the stock market. But you don't tear your clothing of something that's going to happen in 11 months from now. Elbastak forever. Mordechai wears second ash. And Sintoch HaVizak Takavid Olam Arai. He says, he screams. What's the scream? I don't understand. What's the scream? Even though the Gemara says that he screams because the angel Elion HaVid told him that Kadosh Baruch Hu also was fed up with the Jewish people, they went to the party. But again, there's nothing to worry right now. Again, it's not nice. I don't say it's nice. But it's in 11 months from now it's going to happen, the tragedy. It's not now. Until 11 months, B'sat Hashem, Hashem Yazor, God will help. So we know how to fix it. You don't have to go on the street now, tell you clothing on the street now, and scream on the street and something. If it happens, if it's going to happen tomorrow, I understand. But in 11 months from now. So why are you screaming now? Why are you screaming? וכל מדינה ומדינה מקום אשר והמלך ודתו מגיע אבל גדול הדין ודתו מתחילים מספר the old cry, the fasting, סגרית על הרבים, they'd offer second ashes for the real people. He says, what is, I don't understand. It's too early. Why are you making such a thing? You wait, hold it. It just happened now. The letters are in the mail. Wait, it's 11 months from now. Until then, who knows what's going to happen. But they came to Esther and told her, listen, Mordechai is torn clothing on the street. So Chachamim say, Esther thought, maybe you know another rabbi died. What happened? She sent Mordechai some clothing. He says, he tore his clothing. Rabbi, somebody died. She says, no, sentence 7, I give Mordechai to Shekara. Mordechai told him, what happened? The Shengit Amadat, Mordechai also was able to get, I don't know how he got it, he got a copy of this execution notice. So he wants Esther to go and to speak to Ahasuerus to beg mercy from him. The Megillah will tell you that Esther goes back and she tells Mordechai, listen, I can't do it. It's 30 days that he was not invited to the king. I can't just go in. If I go in, I might be killed. ויגידו למרדכי דברי אסתר, ותאמר למרדכי that Esther said she cannot go to Ahasuerus, she can't go to Ahasuerus, fine, so I don't understand, what is the rush? Mordechai said to him, you got to go to Achashverosh, you got to go to Achashverosh. He said, what's the problem? It says, execution notice. It says, execution notice, excuse me, can you tell me what does it say? It says, in 11 months from now, it's going to be execution. Okay, so? You got to go to the king now. Oh, the king now? Excuse me. I have now 11 months to go to the king. It says, listen, I was not called to see the king for 30 days. Okay, so 30 days, Achashverosh said, you know, he was busy with the economy. Okay, happened, you know. This whole country is falling apart. So Achashverosh says this in Esther, please. 30 days, I didn't call you. Okay, fine, so. So, next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, five, a month, two, three, you have 11 months to wait. I don't say you have to wait for the last month, but there's nothing to worry right now. Nothing is going to happen now. But I said, you got to go right away to the king. Right away, what's the right away? So comes the Gemara and says, you should know, we are right now 2 days before Pesach. So Esther said, you know, sentence 16, that Moses called into Mishushan, Betzuma alai, Azuchubat Shtu Shotmein ala Begum. Please, a fast for 3 days. Machlok in the Gemara, 3 days, day and night, only day without night. Anyway, back and forth the Gemara says, you want to know something? We have one more to hide. Since sentence, what happens? Since the Gemara says like this, the discussion went like this. Mordechai told Esther, you got to go right now to the king. So Esther said, I can't. Mordechai said, you got to go. She said, okay. Esther said, you know what? If you want me to go, I want the Jewish people to do a Ta'anit, a fast for 3 days. Okay, 3 days, it means Yud Gimel, Nisan, Yud Aleph Nisan, Tetzvav Nisan. It means they're going to fast the first day of Pesach. So Esther sent to Mordechai, and Mordechai sent her back an email. It says, Miss Esther, you see, it says Pesach is coming. So you can't expect the Jewish nation not to celebrate Pesach. Let's answer big email, Mr. Mordechai. Listen, if you want me to go now, I'll go now, but you got to do what I tell you to do. He says, either we do a Ta'anit now, and we cancel the Gezerah now, or if not, next year will be no one to celebrate Pesach. He said, how do you know? What kind of statement is this? He says, now it's Pesach, it's celebrate Pesach, after Pesach, it's Sfirat HaOmer, after Sfirat HaOmer, you have Shavuot, after Shavuot, you have Shivat HaBetamuz, Shivat HaBetamuz, the 9th Betamuz, the 1st Betamuz, the 9th, and then you have Tisha B'Av, and then we're going to take care of it. This is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, this, Sukkot, this time. He says, what's the rush for what I have to fast now on Pesach? What Mordechai is rushing to do this thing that Esther has to go to the king right now? And Esther says, okay, I will go on the condition you do Ta'anit, but right now Ta'anit, Mordechai said Ta'anit, right now we're Pesach. Forget about Pesach, why forget about Pesach? Why forget about Pesach? You know what powerful is Pesach, what powerful is Afikoman, what powerful is Abba Kosot, what powerful is the holiday of Pesach, the redemption. Let everybody, no Seder, no Nela Seder, no Matzah, no Maro, no wine. Everybody is Ta'anit. He says, why Ta'anit? He says, because she has to go to the king. Let her go after Pesach to the king. What's the rush? So if you skip, that Esther finally goes to Achashverosh, so she comes in, and Achashverosh asks her, what would you like me to do for you? And she said, well, I'm making a party. I'm making a party, I'd like to invite you and Haman to the party. So then Gilad will tell you, yes, they came to the party, and in the party, Achashverosh asked Esther, so, I see you made a party. He says, have you any requests at the party? So sentence 8, she says like this, Imatatechem b'ini ha-melech, this is chapter 5, sentence 8. If you really I find favor in your eyes, v'imamelech t'vartit sh'rati v'chashimu g'shati yavra melech v'manel ha-mishah sh'r'selayim, I would like to make another party tomorrow. Okay. Sounds a party after party. It's called avera goreret avera. Says, that's not enough. She says, you know what? Remember, the Megillah says in the beginning that Achashverosh asked Esther, excuse me, what's your nationality? What's your religion? Which family are you coming from? And she says, I have no idea. This man Mordechai found me, and he adopted me, he raised me, I have no idea. I don't have a passport, no driving license, no social security number, I don't know who I am, I don't know. I'm sorry to tell you that. And Achashverosh kept pressing and asking her, who you are, where you from, nothing. I have no idea. Can you swear? On your head, I swear. Here Esther comes, and the first party, and Ahasuerus says, excuse me, what can I do for you? He says, you know what, I'm making a party, I would like to make another party tomorrow, okay? But by the way, I'm going tomorrow to let you know who I am. I'll tell you which nationality I have, what kind of passport, what's my social security number, and who are my parents, who is my uncle, who is everybody, tomorrow. He says, excuse me, 4 years didn't even tell me. 5 years I married to you already 5 years, you didn't tell me, I have no idea. You lied to me. And by the way, you said you're going to say it tomorrow. So it means what, you're getting it FedEx with all the information? It says, how would you know tomorrow what you don't know tonight? Tonight? You must know it tonight. Can you tell me tonight? No. Tomorrow I tell you. He says, it's a joke or something. You don't know what happened to Vashti. Vashti made a little joke. She went to the cemetery. He says, Ahasuerus, ask your 5 years, who are you? Say, I have no idea. Trust me, I don't know who I am. I have no idea. Mordechai found me on the street. He says, now you're telling me that you know who you are, right? Yeah. Can you tell me? No, tomorrow. So, the Megillah will tell you later. This is chapter, if you skip to chapter 7. Sentence 3, this is the second party. And Ahasuerus asked Esther, what would you like? She said, Matan Esther Malkah Vatomar, Matadichem Be'enech HaMelech Ma'azaz Tov Itnazen Nafshim Bishalati Vami Bakashati. You see, I would like to have my life. He said, what do you mean, your life? Kinimkan Rani Vami, we were sold. We were sold? You weren't sold. Nobody sold you. It was an execution notice. What do you mean you were sold? Of course, the Chachamim tell you, well, Haman wanted to give Ahasuerus some kind of a payment, but nobody sold you. Nevertheless, she uses the word sold. We were sold to be destroyed. So the first question is, you weren't sold. And the second question is, at the end of the sentence, she says, you would be sold to become slaves and maids, I would have been quiet. You'd be quiet. Can you imagine you get a note in the mail? The Ahasuerus says, you know, from tomorrow until Abraham Lincoln will come, you're going to be a slave. So Esther said, if that's what would be said on the notice, I would have been quiet. You'd be quiet. It's all the Jews all around the world are going to become slaves. You be quiet. Who asked you to say that anyway? They ask you what you want. You can say, listen, I'm a Jew, and we got execution notices, and I'm begging you to cancel it. That's it, finished. And I said, no, you know, but if those notices would have said not about execution, just about slavery, fine. I would be quiet. You be quiet. Is it true? You be quiet. No. If you skip to sentence 7 with your permission, chapter 7, sentence 7. Melech kamach ha-batum ishtayah in ha-ham. Ahasuerus is losing himself because Esther told him that Haman is the one behind the whole thing. Of course he knew, but he's pretending maybe. Elgi nata bitan, ve'amad, amad in the location of Shom Esther Malkah, he stands up, and he wants Esther to give him mercy. What it means, maybe, I don't know what it means. What it means exactly is it means she should say, you know, drop charges maybe. קירא אחר עלתה על המרמה את המלך, רמה שם מגידה לבדיים בשפיטה היין, והמן אפילו למידה של אסתר עליה. So comes again the מגילה and says the following. So Ahasuerus went to cool off in the backyard, and he comes back from the backyard, all of a sudden he sees that Haman is on top of Esther. Says the Gemara, Haman is on top of Esther. What happened? He lost control of himself. What's going on with him? So I don't know nothing. Haman was standing up and begging mercy from Esther, and an angel came behind him and gave him a push. Sounds like football. Give him a push. He says, what was this? So he gave him a push, and Ahasuerus comes back from the garden. He sees Haman on top of Esther. He says, what are you doing on top of my wife? He's trying to control. She says, an angel pushed me. What do you want from me? She says, what is behind it? You know, an angel will not come push you on top of Esther. Something is wrong there. So it was why Hashem made it like this, and angel came and pushed. You know, the main important thing after Megillat Esther, of course, is Sudat Purim. Sudat Purim, you know, it's the way it says in the Rambam. You should know the Mishloach Manot is a part of Sudat Purim. It's not the goodies, it's not the candies and all this junk food that you send to each other. This, the Rambam says, that's not Mishloach Manot. This is, you know, it's such a short friendship. But really, what Mordechai and Esther, when they invented and they decided of the mitzvot that we have in Purim, is Mishloach Manot, means that says in the Gemara mainly, is meat and wine. That's really the Mishloach Manot. This Mishloach Manot, in order for you to have food for Sudat Purim. It's not that Mordechai instead decided, you know, you should go and get those bags with, you know, $50, $100, $200, $250 sending to people, and then the whole thing goes to the garbage. Says no. They meant, the Rambam says, they meant you should send to your friend piece of meat and a bottle of wine, mainly. Or some kind, other kind of real food that you should consider it as food for Sudat Purim. So again, the main thing is Sudat Purim is the meal. That's very, very strange that you're going to have a meal. For what you, what who said you have to celebrate with a meal? Just celebrate, you know, I get a cup of wine if you want. But not, not to do with a meal. There's no such thing that you have to enjoy a meal. So Mordechai says, listen, it's a special day. You have to have a dinner, a special dinner. So why, who said you have to have a dinner? Why have to have a dinner? What dinner has to do with anything? With what? After the dinner. And then the dinner must so-called contain meat and wine. And this is the most maybe important thing in on Purim, is this is called Sudat Purim. And again, the Mishloach Manot tied up with that. I think I have to stop here. There's more to go. But I don't know, the clock is running too fast here. So I'll tell you what I'll say. I'll tell you what I'll say. And he says like this. He says that Mordechai goes on the street when he found out about the execution of this, and he screams very hard. Says the Gemara, what is the description he screams so hard? He says, I tell you what. Mordechai is a great-grandson of Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov made Esav, that he is the great-grandfather of Haman, scream. He says, when? And says, this happened on the night of Pesach, when Yitzchak Avinu, that by the way lived 180 years, and he called up Esav, he said, I want to give you a blessing. If you remember, Rivka dressed up Yaakov with Esav's clothing, and Yaakov took the blessings. And Zohar has a big complaint about Yaakov, so he should not have done this. You can't do it, especially the way the Gemara describes it, and says Esav cried, and because he cried, he got a real reward from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he wanted the blessing so much, as bad that Esav screamed. Comes the Gemara and says, you know, when we got to say, you read it, Yaakov screamed so much, it says, it's not Yaakov, it's Mordechai, it's really Yaakov. Yaakov and Mordechai is the same person. He says, this is so-called a punishment for you, Mordechai, what you did to Haman's grandfather, Esav. It says, you made him scream when you took the blessing. Says, by the way, what was the blessing? The blessing, if you remember, we tell you, King Hashem, Hashem, Aret, Yavdu Chamim. But Yitzchak had in mind at that moment that Yaakov was standing in front of him, that he is Esav, and he gave Esav a bracha, you should know, you should be the king, and your brother is going to be the slave. And of course, when Yaakov got the bracha, if the whole thing turned upside down, Yaakov is the king, Esav is going to be the slave, sometimes yes, sometimes not, depends how Yaakov behaves. That's what Yitzchak so-called changed the bracha when Esav came inside. But the idea is that here you're standing in so-called a problem that the Zohar says that starts on the night of Pesach with Yaakov misbehaving by taking a blessing that he was not supposed to take. And since then, says the Zohar, in all the wars, in all the tragedies Am Yisrael had, in life until Mashiach will come, constantly you have enemies that are grandchildren of Esav because Yaakov behaved like this person. What it means really. Now you understand a little bit. And of course the Megillah will tell you that Mordechai knows how to pray. Okay. Comes to Gemara and tells you, I want to explain to you something, how it goes first. First you have to know that Yaakov married his cousin. Her name was Rachel, and Yaakov Mordechai also is going to marry his cousin. Her name is Esther. By the way, remember in the Torah, Rachel was beautiful, so the Megillah paints Esther as a beautiful. Again, to tell you that it's a very similar situation. By the way, let me tell you what did Yaakov accomplish, and what is really the task that Yaakov wants us to know. Of course, we all do remember that Yaakov fought with an angel, and that angel is called, this is the angel of Esau, this is the Malach HaMavet, this is the Satan, and Yaakov fights with him. Sacrifice with him, says the Gemara, Yaakov made Filat Arvit. Says the Gemara, Abraham Avinu made Shacharit, Yitzchak Avinu made Mincha, Yaakov made Arvit. You know, in Arvit, we read the Gemara, so the Gemara says, first of all, you should know Arvit in the time of Gemara was an optional. He didn't have to pray Arvit. Yeah. It's why you don't have to pray Arvit. So the says, Arvit is very dangerous. Very dangerous. So remember, we have the Bracha in Arvit. Ashkivenu, which says, Baser Satan Milfaninu Macharenu, which says, we want the Satan away, we want Malach HaMavet away. It says, it's a very powerful bracha, Ashkivenu, but you should know, it's very dangerous. You can't start with the Satan, you can't start with an angel. Yaakov was able to fight an angel, but you have to be in a certain level to fight an angel. You cannot decide, by the way, you know, I'm going to fight the Satan. The Gemara tells a lot of stories about Chachamim. Excuse me, they wanted to fight the angel of Satan. You can't fight him. But Yaakov did. Yaakov won. And Yaakov, before that, he already made Filat Arvit. Filat Arvit, this is a powerful Filat Arvit. Don't underestimate it, but you should know when you pray Arvit, as you said, you know, you actually, what you do is you step on the Satan's feet. He says, for example, to give charity at night, of course, if you're Mishulach, you should give him a charity. He said, you give the charity with your left hand at night, not with your right hand. Because when you give tzedakah, it means you fight. You fight the Satan, you fight this Malach HaMavet, and he is very powerful at night time. So at night time, he says, the Mishulach comes to your door, don't say this at night time, come in the morning. So you give him, but you give him with your left foot. He says, with your left hand, I'm sorry, not with your left hand. With your left hand. If you left, doesn't matter, left, yeah, doesn't matter. This is because you're fighting with him and you cannot start out with him. Actually, Dari says you should know Haman and Esav is the same entity, but they get energy from the Satan. Mordechai, here, he wants so-called to overcome this Haman. It is he's going to stand still. This is because the task, this is, I remember what I did. It is the reason why I bought the Bechorah, the reason why I wanted to get the blessing, is not because I wanted, I didn't want him to get it. So the Zohar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very upset at Yitzchak. It says, Yitzchak, if Yitzchak would have given the blessing to Esav, would be no world. It says, enough trouble we have from Esav children, even though Yaakov got the Bracha. It is, but your obligation is to get rid of this bad entity, Esav. It says, he is going to destroy the world. It says, the Satan, this is the angel, it says, this is Haman, gets his power from him. And then the Megillah will tell you, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, Achashverosh decided Haman is the biggest. However, Haman says, what do you mean Haman is the biggest? Why is it the biggest? It's not good that he is the biggest. As Mordechai is going to demonstrate, he's going to stand, he says, are you not the biggest? Forget about it. That's why Mordechai also wanted Haman to be a slave, because Mordechai wants to control him, because otherwise he controls Mordechai, and it means this is the bad entity who controls the world. Here comes the Megillah, I will tell you, let me explain to you how it went. First of all, you should know that story started that Yitzchak asked Esav to bring him some food. Eventually, Yaakov brought the food and wine as well, and then Yitzchak gave him the blessing. Here comes the Megillah, I will tell you, listen, so the whole thing started with a party. And says the party is Vashti. Vashti is really Esav's wife, and she's married to Achashverosh. And here those two plan the party, and the Gemara says they plan to overcome the Jewish people. It's a special invitation to the Jews, please come to the party, come to the party, come to the party. What do you want from the Jews? He says, we want the Jews down. He says, why? Because of Yaakov. Because Yaakov, so-called, he got the blessing, and therefore they had the Tamikdash, they had this, and the Hashem said, listen, it's time for us to take the control over, because they don't deserve it. They got it, so-called, with dishonesty of Yaakov to Esau. They want to turn the whole thing over, and that's all the whole Megillah is all about. So they started the thing. It's not that we went to the party and then Haman came. We went to the party because they invited us. No, because they invited us to the party. And they invited us to the party, the Gemara says, because they wanted to control us, again, starting from Yaakov, they took their blessing. Says, this is really what Mordechai, when he hears that execution notice, he tears his clothing. He says, why are you tearing your clothing? He says, I know what it is. This is just before Pesach. Pesach is the time. Now you understand what's going on. He says, first I tear my clothing. He says, you tear your clothing because that time I wore the wrong clothing on me. I took Esau's clothing. I don't need the clothing. He says, here's the clothing. So Esau says, what's going on? He says, you know what? Execution. Execution, you run to the king now. He says, now I have to run to the king. There's 11 months for the execution. He says, you don't understand. He says, we have to repair it now. We have to repair it now because this is the time that what Am Israel did, as we call Am Israel, Yaakov Avinu Bnei Israel, this happened on Pesach. So you got to go to the king right now because now is the repair time for this. So you go to the king, you beg him for mercy. I said, okay, fine. Esther says, we're not going to have Pesach. Says the Mordechai, you're not going to have Pesach? How are you not going to have Pesach? Esther says, we don't need Pesach. You don't understand. That happened on Pesach. And Pesach, this is when you did this act that you took this blessing. Forget about Pesach. Fast. Fine. Says the Megillah, Esther went inside. Ask Ahasuerush, can I see you? He says, tonight? Okay. I says, what's the date today? Today is Tetzvav. Today is the first day of Pesach. I says, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to tell you who I am. I says, why? Because by tomorrow I'm already clean. We'll clear it. He says, tonight I don't have to clear yet because maybe Haman is right. By tomorrow, after we did Tani 3 days, it's over. I says, why? The next day was a party. Next day was a party. Esther comes. I want to tell you something. If we would have been enslaved, I would have been quiet. I said, why? Because that thing that we took, the blessing, from Esau, it says the blessing was that we should be the slaves of Esau. It says Yaakov Avinu so-called pretended is Esau, and therefore he got the blessing, and therefore Esau, Haman, is the slave of Mordechai. But, you know, if really we don't deserve it, and all of a sudden every Jew will get in his mailbox a letter, you must be a slave to Esau, says we accept it. He says, why? Because our grandfather did wrong when he stole the blessings, and it addressed that Esau into the blessing. By the way, if you remember, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, page 11, says that every year in Rome was a parade after the destruction of the Tamikdash, that the Jewish person was carrying on top of his shoulders, carried like a face of Esav, and he says, look, who won? For 70 years was a parade in Rome. 70 years to show how much they're upset that we took the blessing with not a justified reason. And then with the parade of the second Tamikdash, the second Tamikdash, now in between the first and the second. And the second Tamikdash was destroyed at the parade in Rome. Yearly, every year, Gemara Avodah Zarah said, every year a parade to show that they won us. So you won what? And they said, the statement, And the guy used to go in front of the parade. He said, look, does it pay to be a liar, a cheater? Does it pay? Look, you see the guy on the bottom? This is Yaakov. You see the guy on the top? It's Esau. You see, who won? We destroyed the Mikdash. This is constantly they're after us, because as the Zohar says, I think Mashiach will come, we have some kind of a payment to do, because Yaakov did it that way. It is Mordechai and Esther, so-called, they... At that time, they were able to repair it. And therefore, the Gemara says that the Ahasuerus was able to stop the construction of Beit Hamidash. It says again, you read the Tanakh, it says, well, some Arabs send letters to Ahasuerus, to Vashti, says, stop the construction. It says, what's behind it? It says, behind it means that Beit Hamidash is on the top, says the Gemara. It means that we are the top, and Esav is on the bottom. It says, well, it's not so clear. It is clear if you keep everything. Since the Jewish people did not keep the mitzvot, it means Haman comes. Haman comes, but the Haman comes because the blessing that Yaakov got was never fulfilled completely. I said, the Megillah will paint back and forth and tell you, listen, this is a celebration. That's how powerful Purim is. It's powerful more so-called as Yom Kippur. I said, Yom Kippur is like Purim. I said, what is Purim all about? I said, we are able so-called to undo. But to undo so bad that we were able so-called to get rid of Haman. So it's not, you know, that Haman was impeached, Haman was fired. You actually killed Haman. But actually what you mean is you got rid of this evil power that wanted so-called to redeem and to take revenge what we took, so-called the blessing. So that's a big celebration, says David. So this, the Rambam says, you know, this back in before Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu waived all the sins. It says that the sin that Yaakov Avinu did, what the Zohar says, that he took the blessing with no right. It says here, Mordechai has to repair it, and therefore Am Israel has to make a meal on Purim. It says Mishloach Manot is what? To remember that via that first meal that was done on the first night of Pesach, that Yaakov brought to Yitzchak, is so-called, we got the blessing, but we never got it. It says, Mordechai and Esau were able, so-called, to destroy that evil part that was running after us. It says, constantly, as it says, this is what the celebration of Purim, this is what the Rambam means. Until Mashiach will come, Mashiach, you have to deal with that entity, that this is the Satan, and the Satan's power that comes from Esau. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will slaughter the Satan before Mashiach will come, and that's what the Gemara says, you know, Purim is very strong just because you're able to fulfill and to repair the damage that Yaakov Avinu did.